I'm Sean Belen. It's time for Around Montgomery County. We had a chance to talk to State Senator Andy Menar about a number of issues, including one that's certainly being talked about a lot this weekend, Phase 4 of Governor Pritzker's five-phase reopening plan after the arrival of coronavirus. Restaurants and other businesses allowed to once again operate with indoor customers. Menar talked about the hopes for recovery with Phase 4 and the impact of grants that will provide assistance to businesses around the state.
Well, certainly it's going to help, especially small businesses, particularly the restaurant and bar industry, which I think throughout this last 3 months or so has been particularly hard hit. That's one reason why we made those relief grants that are now being put forward, and bar and restaurant owners, for example, can apply for those. That's why we made those relief grants such a focal point in the budget that we passed for the coming fiscal year. So I think phase four coming up on Friday is going to be a welcome change.
Menar offered some thoughts on another key part of phase four. What happens with the school year? Menar offering his comments shortly before the Illinois State Board of Education and Illinois Department of Public Health offered their 60 pages of guidelines on how the fall semester should look at schools at the kindergarten all the way through college level.
Well, I think, you know, the most important thing about phase four to me is setting up what is going to be what school looks like when it opens in August. You know, when public schools open in August, phase four is going to set up what that looks like and how it's going to be done. So the most immediate change, obviously, is on salons, barbershops, which, of course, were allowed to open under certain circumstances during the current phase. And then, of course, dining for restaurants and bars. But we have to remember that this is an ongoing process. And phase four, those changes are going to set up, I think, in large part, what the opening of school looks like in August. And I'm concerned about it. Obviously, I'm a parent of three in the Bunker Hill School District. And what I would like to see is some guidelines by the state, but give local school boards the authority through a community-driven process to make decisions on how school is going to look come August.
With coronavirus numbers surging in a number of states, Menar says that shows that Illinois took the right path, the patient one, in reopening.
Well, that's what we have done in Illinois, which has been celebrated by many and has been despised by many. But the data points are clear. At this moment in time, Illinois has had the largest drop of new cases of any state in the past few weeks, and that's because of the work that has been done at the state level and the local level and adherence by a vast majority of the people and businesses across the state. That obviously doesn't come without an economic cost. But again, that's why we made those relief grants and those relief programs such a focal point of our budget. But at the end of the day, I think what's important is that if you look at, for example, what's happening in Arizona versus Illinois, it's a dramatic difference. And when it comes down to it, that means that lives were saved in Illinois that otherwise, unfortunately, would not have been. If you look at what's happening in Western Iowa with pork producers, where packing plants and processing plant had to shut down because the state did not take steps. That didn't happen in Illinois. There were no shutdown of processing plants because the state took steps early on to recognize the dire nature and the sounding the alarm about COVID-19. So, yes, it's been a tough road. It's been a very tough road. But if you look at where we are compared to other states, where Florida, for example, has seen the greatest spike to the extent that the state government has changed its reporting mechanisms because it doesn't want to report about the number of cases. We are nowhere near that. And that has helped, I believe, save lives. And in the long term, it's going to help our economy.
And Menar is also weighing in on the discussion about law enforcement in the country after the death of George Floyd. He says there is reason for change, but it's not something that should be rushed in a 24-hour news cycle environment.
Yeah, I think that's the key. I think that's the key to solving what undoubtedly is a challenge. And the important thing here is that there isn't a knee-jerk reaction by state government to what we are seeing and what we have seen now for years unfold, most recently with George Floyd, that grabbed the nation's attention for good reason, because what happened to him was horrific. But it is all too common. We should admit that up front. It's all too common. But at the same time, I would tell you yesterday I had a very productive meeting with police chiefs from the Metro East area that have what I left that meeting with the feeling that they have very, very good ideas that are proactive in nature that I think should be part of the debate in Springfield when we return to session. So this isn't an either or scenario, in my opinion. And all too often, especially with the national media, you're either on the side of the police or you're on the side of the protesters. And those two things can exist together if we do this thoughtfully. Because when I have conversations with police officers, they acknowledge the challenges, and they also have, as practitioners of law enforcement, they also have proactive ideas on how to address the situation that just has to be addressed. The worst thing we could do right now is do knee-jerk reactions that don't get at the root of the problem. And that's what I'm looking out for. What I would like to see is I would like to see more investment in social workers, especially in rural areas where there's the lack of those types of public sector workers to address what are deep-rooted challenges that end up in the lap of law enforcement. So I'm looking for those types of things. That's going to take a long-term approach, not a knee-jerk reaction.
And Senator Menar offered his thoughts on the departure of Hillsborough Mayor Brian Sullivan from office after his resignation on Tuesday.
Well, I would just tell you, I was quite surprised when Mayor Sullivan called me to let me know that he was going to submit his resignation. Despite being on opposite sides of the political aisle, frankly, that doesn't matter to me. I know Mayor Sullivan had the people of Hillsborough on the forefront of his mind when he made decisions. And he and I, despite being on opposite sides, him being a Republican, me being a Democrat, that's a uniting factor. When you put people first, when you put the communities that you represent first, politics really doesn't matter too much. And I have nothing but compliments for Mayor Sullivan and many of the things that he did during his tenure as mayor to advance the city during a very difficult economic time, when things were difficult on the national level, when it comes to the rural economy. And then, of course, that was heightened with the closure of the Coffeen power plant. But Mayor Sullivan didn't let that stop what he believed in his heart, which is absolutely true. Hillsborough is a wonderful community full of wonderful people that want good things for their town. And he led that effort for many, many years. And he deserves, I believe, our collective thanks. It's not easy to be a mayor. I know that. I was the mayor of Bunker Hill at a very young age. It's a tough job. It's a really tough job. He did it quite well, and I appreciate the work that he did for the city of Hillsborough.
And before we go, let's talk about the change of command at the mayor's office in Hillsborough. Mayor Brian Sullivan offering his thoughts as he prepared to leave office.
I've had just such a fortunate situation with having a community that worked together and came together for a common goal. Typical groups that in the past hadn't worked together for whatever reason came together, and, you know, no one person can do this. But I felt like, you know, I maybe was the match that lit the fire and got people working together, and it shows what can be done when people do that. It just all came together, and we've had a really good run, and I think the city's got some really good things on the horizon too that are going to keep going. So I don't by any means think this is the end for Hillsborough. We're on the right trajectory. We're going to keep going.
And Katie Duncan, the new mayor of Hillsborough, the first woman ever, talks about her priorities.
That's part of the reason why I was kind of leery about giving up my finance seat and just going with mayor. I do have a master's in accounting, and when I first got into this, I don't think I was people's favorite, and I'm sure I'm probably still not people's favorite, and that's fine. Money is kind of my life, in a sense. Knowing when the city has money to spend and when they don't have money to spend, and I know I've said no to a few projects because while they're great and I would love to see them happen within the city, you have to have the finances to be able to do them. I try to stick to the budget and ask everybody else to stick to the budget, but that doesn't always happen because I'm not the only vote. I could have resigned from my commission seat and just taken the mayoral seat, but if I would choose not to run, then I basically would not be on the council anymore. And I didn't want to make that decision now. I would rather have the opportunity to get my feet wet and understand some more of what Brian was able to do and how he went about doing it versus just jumping in and giving up my seat and not knowing what decision I would want to make come December when you have to file the paperwork, and then obviously leaving it in all the voters' hands to say, yes, we would like her to continue, or no, we wouldn't. I don't know what's going to come December, whether I'll file or not. That's kind of up in the air, but we'll just wait and see.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Around Montgomery County. We'll be back with another edition in 2 weeks, and I'll see you again next weekend for Forum. Sean Blitz saying so long until then.